one of the big stories going around the NHL today is Morgan Rielly, who signs an 8-year contract extension, 7.5 is the AAV, here to share his expertise on this and other Maple Leafs issues as Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca. Luke, how are you today? Thanks for doing this.
That's on your show. You're killing it. Flying solo isn't an easy thing to do, but you're doing an excellent job, my friend.
Listen, I'm wordy. I find that this is a luxury. I've never been described as economical in anything that I've said. So this is actually easier than talking and then deferring to Stewie or Justin on a regular basis. But thank you for that. So Elliot and I talk about this in hour one, it's a Morgan Rielly contract extension. First of all, I was really impressed at how this one was done. I mean, as a member of the media, I like big, drawn-out, emotional roller coaster contract negotiations. Those are fun and give us Christopher the Mill and opinion and, great stuff for social media and audio shows like this. But this was an interesting one. I mean, the negotiation was quiet. The release was a surprise. You have your ear to the ground. How much of a shock was this to you, Luke?
I was floored. I really saw this as a potential Zach Hyman 2.0 in terms of looking at how much cap space, Rielly looking at what his fellow pending free agents were getting. You know, you look at the Seth Jones contract in particular. You look at the fact that his agent is J.P. Barrie, the same guy who went out and got Dougie Hamilton a really nice payday, got Tyler Myers a really handsome payday when he was UFA and signed with Vancouver. And, you know, as the other UFAs in this upcoming defenseman class kept signing, Morgan Rielly's stock, in my mind, kept rising. I mean, I know there's some Leaf fans that give him a little bit of criticism, but he logs minutes, he runs a power play. He had that one season where he put up 20 goals. He creates plays. And you just kind of thought, because the market is so thin on number one defensemen, he could really get paid more. So I think Kyle Dubas did a nice bit of work here in terms of giving him more term to getting the cap hit down. To me, what it says is the Leafs look at their window as between now and when Austin Matthews' contract ends up, we can't weaken the core. We can't weaken the core anymore. And Rielly took a bit of a discount. I think if he had to push this to the summer, he probably could have got paid a little bit more elsewhere. But he loves being a Toronto Maple Leaf. So I think Leaf fans should be encouraged that Rielly put his pen to paper today.
You know, it's interesting, too, because you mentioned, you know, how defensemen are getting paid, whether it's, you know, Dougie Hamilton to Cale Makar to Charlie McAvoy to Seth Jones to Darnell Nurse. You know, I think a lot of people are wondering, okay, is Morgan Rielly going to come close to joining the $9 million club? Like, I'm with you. I think, you know, based on where the market is at right now with defensemen, and John Klingberg is going to be the next one. We'll see where that contract ends up with the Dallas Stars. I think that a lot of people looked at Morgan Rielly and said, what a time to be a defenseman with an expiring contract. You know, players are getting contracts to start with nine in front of them now. Like, Seth Jones changed all of this.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have got a nine, but I feel pretty certain that he could have got upwards of eight. And the Leafs were the one team that was able to offer him that extra year, the eighth year, which keeps his total earnings from the deal pretty similar had he signed for seven elsewhere, but it keeps the cap number a bit lower, which is essential for the Leafs. Now, I looked ahead, though. They already have over $75 million committed for next season. And there's like five or six spots open and not that much money left going to be able to fill it. And even this season, they opened with 21 players as opposed to the 23. Like, this is a team that is cutting it awfully close. And it does raise some concerns. Does Morgan Rielly signing mean someone else is coming out eventually?
Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to get to. I'm glad you got me there. See, you're a better host than I am already. I wonder, because I don't think that right now the Maple Leafs are thinking about off-season and cap issues. I don't think right now that they're thinking about, okay, what's this going to mean, you know, come July when we have to start putting this Rubik's Cube back together again and make it make sense of it financially, even though we get the 10% overage in the off season. I think right now all the Maple Leafs are focused on is we need to not just make the playoffs and not just win one round. We need to do something in the playoffs or else there are going to be major consequences at a lot of levels in this organization. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, but I mean, the more immediate concern is making the playoffs. Like, this also is a really nice kind of happy, feel-good story. His team, like Riley's teammates swarmed him at the beginning of practice. They're all happy. They're because he's one of the leaders on that team, longest tenured Leaf. They feel good for him.
Yeah, and he's paying for dinner now. That's why they're all happy.
Yeah, there's that too. But all the reporters at practice, they're writing a Morgan Riley story. They're not writing a, oh my goodness, what if they lose to the Detroit Red Wings tomorrow story. So this is, you know, it is a nice kind of positive story in Leafland coming off a week mm-hmm. with a heck of a lot of negatives.
Okay, let's do a negative Leaf story then. Let's do a what's wrong. Let's do a what's wrong with story. Number 8 on the left side on the second pair, Jake Muzzin. This is not the Jake Muzzin we're used to seeing. This is a Jake Muzzin that looks like he's playing through something. What's going on with Jake Muzzin?
Yeah, and you know what? He was asked point blank if he's battling through something after the Pittsburgh game, and he said no. But you know, what's he going to say? What's he going to say, right? So that's the question. We all know that he pulled his groin something awful in that Montreal series. And I think it was on your podcast that Tyler Toffoli said with no Jake Muzzin, that's when they knew that they were going to be able to defeat the Maple Leafs. Like, a healthy, functioning, dangerous, gritty, faster Jake Muzzin is what this defensive core needs, right? When all things being equal, he's their best defensive defenseman. And he hasn't been up to par. Him and Hall are both among the league leaders or league losers in terms of plus minus. It looks like Justin Hall might be on track for a healthy scratch, his first in a long, long time, because that pair just simply isn't getting it done. And that was supposed to be Keefe's top shutdown pair. So things mm-hmm. are being rejigged here. But with the commitment in term and dollars that the Maple Leafs have committed to Muzzin, they can't afford him to be anything less than a top four defenseman. And he hasn't been up there. I would like to think that maybe his groin is bugging him and this isn't a factor of age just catching up with him, because that would be scary just considering how much term he has left on his contract still.
You know, when you look at, you know, the right shot depth chart on the blue line, you get the Timothy Liljegren pretty fast. I've been of the mind that with Hall struggling right now, you put Liljegren with Muzzin and leave them there for a while. What do you think?
I don't know. Liljegren's kind of looked hot and cold to me. And, you know, partly that's a function of him not getting an extended run in the lineup. You know, he's popped in and out. Sheldon Keefe has said that he doesn't want him sitting around for too long and getting cold. He wants to kind of keep dangling that carrot and encouraging him. I just don't know if he's established himself there. So it looks like they're going to try a Brody-Muzzin pairing, and Dermott gets promoted all the way up with Riley, and we'll see how that goes. I think Dermott's been slightly better than Liljegren so far in the early going, but I also think that the Maple Leafs depth on the blue line has been really exposed here. I think we're also realizing how valuable a piece, albeit as a role player, Zach Bogosian played for this team in terms of eating up tons of PK minutes. Now Dermott and Riley are trying to pick up those in terms of being a force in front of the net. The Maple Leafs, for people who have watched, they've allowed free access to their crease. Like, a lot of teams are just getting really good grade A looks, even Chicago. I looked at the high danger chances and they doubled them 8-4. Like, Toronto was a bit lucky because Jack Campbell stood on his head, but the opposition is getting too much access to the Maple Leafs net. And I think that's a loss of Bogosian. It's Liljegren, you know, maybe he becomes something, but right now he's a guy with just a few games of NHL experience. And like you said, the right side is a concern, and it has been a concern for a while.
Real quick, last point here. Manuel Riom is going to be stopping by in a couple of moments. Analyst for the Detroit Red Wings. Leafs play the Red Wings on Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow. What are your thoughts on the Wings? Like, they're nowhere close to being, you know, that next version of the Detroit Red Wings that's fully actualized. But you're starting to see some of the pieces that you're going to be familiar with, whether it's, you know, Lucas Raymond or Moritz Seider, who many are saying, oh, he's going to be the new Cronwall. This guy's crushing players out there. What do you see when you see the Wings these days?
I see a very, very patient rebuild by a general manager with all the job security in the world. I think Steve Yzerman's done a very good job at not rushing this, and it doesn't feel like he's in any pressure to hammer the gas pedal. So he's just recruiting these young guys, making some smart trades. He's playing the long game. And I think in this business, a lot of GMs don't have that luxury. They feel under pressure that they need to win now. They need to speed up the rebuild. They even, you know, change the phrasing of it, right? It's a reset or rebuild on the fly. Whereas Yzerman, I think, has
competitive rebuild. How about the David Poile term, competitive rebuild? Yeah.
But Stevie's earned that, right? From his legendary status in that city to the work he did in Tampa, he's earned the benefit of that. He's going to get this thing on track eventually, and it's kind of like slow and steady wins the race. So I like what they're doing, and it goes to the coach, right? Like, a lot of people thought they would have got rid of Blashill, but just stick with him. Yeah. So I like the consistency. It may be a little slow for Red Wings fans, but I have faith that they're going to turn it around.